program you are about to hear, Bob's Slacktime Funhouse, is parody, satire, and comedy. Any reference to Bob, the Church of the Subgenius, religion, politics, or any other touchy subjects is intended only as humor and should cast no reflection on the high standards of WREK Atlanta, its staff, or that of Georgia Tech.
Thank you. in my automobile. Cruising and playing the radio.
It is true! You can eat a moon cow or an honky honky pig. But let me tell you something, there ain't quite nothing like it when you're munching on somebody's leg. They say it'll make you sick, but let me tell you, that's just an urban legend. You can eat all the people you can see if you're hungry enough, I suppose, huh?
I don't think there's any culture that doesn't have some sort of symbolic cannibalism in it. I can't explain why that's the case, but it's part of the revulsion and the fascination for the subject.
In American society, we don't say, you know, stand with a big pot and cook people. But we have symbolic forms of cannibalism in everyday life.
There are obviously very strong psychological taboos against using a human flesh. When one has to struggle, and people do, by the reports of those who have done it, with an idea of using it, it's disgusting, it's nauseating, literally nauseating, and it is frightening. Yet the hunger, the fears of hunger, and the hope for the survival are strong enough forces to make almost any normal person in these very dire circumstances choose to cannibalize.
As our salute to the man who killed and ate the flesh of 17 people.
In our language alone, you see terms that are cannibalistic. Cannibalistic competition. Dog-eat-dog competition. We talk about buttering someone up, grilling them, roasting them, chewing them up and spitting them out. You know, we nowadays talk about just about everything but cannibalism. It is such a terrifying thing for adults that they just don't talk about it. It is one of the last taboos in this country.
Every society, in order to exist, must maintain a number of taboos, behaviors which are forbidden, typically by God. These taboos are not explainable by intellect. These are injunctions by the superpower telling us don't do that. Once those rules are gone, anarchy prevails.
Does that taste masculinity, Tootsie?
What's what makes it tasty, don't you know?
We got a fella in the morgue that's been trimmed up for meat. Have I got the right department? Yes, sir, this is the meat. Yes, sir, you certainly do.
I'm I'm sorry.
All I can say. I'll eat girls or guys, I don't care, but I swear I'm not gay. My freezer because I killed them a long time ago and now I am going to save them for a company picnic where I might feed them in a salad or something else so that others will eat them and then I can say I'm not the only cannibal in my office.
I got six people in a row, well, how do you know, well, which one might taste best out of them? Well, let's take a guess. You got big guys, you got little guys and big girls and little girls too. You put it in a pan, muscle or organ. You fry it up real good southern style. I don't know why, but the thought just makes me smile. Oh, the smell of people cooking in the kitchen. You just don't know. Maybe you do. I'm thinking maybe I should get in touch with you. Your friends won't let you babysit, so don't tell them.
Well, I'm gonna eat you cause I wanna get your magic powers. I'm gonna eat you cause I wanna get your magic powers. I'm gonna eat you cause I wanna have control of your soul.
Crab ass.
Help me, Doc.
I've always thought that they should make front and rear bumpers electromagnets so that they're opposite
they
polarity.
Repel each other?
Yeah, so that it would reduce impact upon collision.
That would make a hell of a lot of sense.
And obviously, it would have to get really strong at the closest point. You couldn't just have people being pushed backwards in other cars. Or
right,
whatever,
in traffic.
Ping-ponging
yeah.
around.
In subsequent electromagnetic bumper experiments, it was determined a car with a specific electromagnetic bumper would repel the metal frames of all cars. It was further determined that a large enough vehicle, a bus or dump truck, for instance, with enough velocity, could ride down the center of the highway at any speed it desired, pushing vehicles out of the way. Furthermore, in highly specialized tests, it was determined that a normal vehicle, hypothetically a 1980 Chevy Malibu Classic, with sufficient velocity and proper brake timing could approach a stationary vehicle at a high rate of speed and use the quote-unquote bounce as the forward momentum of the 1980 Chevy Malibu transfers its momentum into the previously inert vehicle in front, bringing the Classic to a complete stop. That is all.
Pathogens.
If you've been off planet, then you know that space travel can be a real drag. Next time you're headed off planet, be sure to pack a healthy supply of dehydrated diet stimuswill.
I can't believe people still
take that stuff. I mean, sleep isn't a problem if you stay focused.
What the? A space object? What's the ship's status, computer? A USO. Computer, play back at Homo Sap speed any information you have on USO.
Hey, it's great to be here with you. It's great to be here supporting the troops. A friend of mine said, take my wife, please. He took her. And then she cut his off.
Ugh, cut it off. That's just terrible. Well, maybe I can get us unstuck. Open pod bay doors, pal. Why not? Well, one small step for... Oh, hey, look! We're just wedged into the exhaust duct of another ship! Fart. Gag. Can't... breathe. No, I suppose... wait. Unless I farted at the exact same time.
Imperial Bomb, beware! You are treading on sacred ground!
There's no ground in space. Strange. Perhaps this is some sort of space spook house. Computer, do we have any ghost ships on record in this quadrant? Computer? Mommy?
Step right up, my good man. Welcome to the galaxy's finest house of horrors and space oddities. My name's Mr. Harang. Welcome. 23 credits, please.
Ah, a human. What luck. Look, my ship is right out there and...
23 credits, my friend. 23 credits is all that stands between you and the thrills and excitement of...
My ship...
Your ship...
seems to be stuck.
Stuck?
In your ship.
Your ship is stuck. In my ship.
Yes.
What? But how?
Well, I think I started to fall asleep while piloting and...
Your computer didn't warn you?
Well, sometimes I shut the nav guide off and fly, you know, by the seat of my pants. It's fun.
There's nothing fun about this, Mr.
Commander Stipple, Galactic Reserve Hospitality Battalion C.
And what are you going to do to rectify this situation?
I was hoping you could help me.
No. No, no, no. No, no. How? How could I help?
Well, do you have a crane I could borrow? Or a wedge thingy?
You know what? I like you. You're a little space happy, a little slow, but you make me laugh.
Great, so then...
Here's a card. It's for a crane service. They'll fly out and help you get your ship, off.
Ichabod Crane's Headless Whores.
Give me that. Wrong card.
You're in luck. Traditional Irish pea parties.
Okay, so I don't really have a card for a crane service. Look, Stipple, the problem here is I can't let you in. If I let you in without the 23 credit charge, I'll get fired. And by that, I mean the boss will set me on fire.
But I've only got enough air in my ship for a couple of days.
Yeah, not my problem. Goodbye.
Pish. Argo Fargo Space Ass. Hell, I don't need him or his so-called space crane. Space ass. I sure could use a little space tail. Computer. Hilarious. Was the Mecha Orgo Senso Stimutron damaged in the, Oh, come on, I saw it. It's not that bad, it's just a little crunch. It'll buff out. It will. I do. So, was the Mecha Orgo Senso Stimutron damaged in, the Fender Bender? Again, hilarious. I'm coming back to the ship, pal, and I'll be unavailable for 20 to 30 minutes, if you know what I mean. Open pod bay doors, pal, and do not say anything to the other bots on the ship, okay? Okay? Open pod door.
Bring your life a photo with the ones in the moto. Hip hop from my fado. The rap loud out. Rock out the bingo. The point of the new window. My mind is all the bingo. And the steel band bingo. Mostly all the rappers king. Who knows more. I rock with Dan Shunko. But the whole can't start. Look at the no one. I want to go back to Rio. Man, you ready? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, 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 yeah.
Geez, I am still the commander of this vessel, am I not? Yes, yes, I think I am. So why do I put up with sassy computers? Who programmed computers to be sassy? I mean, I'm not a bad commander. I'm giving. Is it me? No. No, it's just hard being the only human on this ship. Out here in space. For 6 years at a time. Well, a stop by MOSS will take my mind off things for a while. I'll just go through the cantina for some space sushi first. Good stuff, that. Cantina! Open bay door. Cantina! Open bay door.
Sorry, Commander, but bay door mechanism is malfunctioning. Please use manual override button to your left.
Come on! Come on! What a piece of space junk.
That's a little hard there, Commander. Oh yeah. Just a little harder, please.
Damn it. Open this door now.
Go get her, Tiger.
Yeah, you go get. Freeze box, show contents. This is really just, I mean, it's not opening.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Do you believe it's running? Yes. 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 Yes, that's a little faster.
Ah! Open this door right now, or so help me.
All right. I just have a little bit of fun.
Hello, sir. Shine your shoes, brush your jacket. Fancy a good rogering?
Get the hell away from me, butler.
'Twas all meant in good fun, sir.
Chips bar, give me a mojito and a sake, and so help me if you say one...
Hey, gonna get some. Yeah, woohoo! Oh, yeah. Come on.
Ow!
Go get her, yeah, tell us all about it, yeah, oh yeah.
Unbelievable. Door, open, now!
You're a little too aggressive for me, sir, but it may work with these sensobolts.
I'll bet none of the other commanders in any of the other Starfleets have ever had to deal with stuff like this. Why me? Well, in retrospect, maybe I shouldn't have shtupped Star Command's wife. Or his daughter. Or Star Command.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah.
Ahem. It's Commander Stipple. Well, I was just in the neighborhood. May I come in? Just for a while. Come on, baby. Great. Thanks, babe. I'm a little, you know. Yeah. Say, how about a drink? I have a sake or a mojito. No? Well, then, you won't mind if I... Come here, baby. Did you miss me? Yeah, and I've missed you. What do you say we... Hold on, baby. Let me get out my captain's log. Not tonight. I need you. What? I don't think that's strictly possible.
That's hot under that bunk. Hey, I found half a credit. Under the bunk there. Oh, hi, Stipple. Good to see you again.
You!
Yes, well, I came over to tell you that I've decided to help you after all.
But you!
Listen, Stipple. I was gonna get fired anyway, so I thought maybe you and I could knock a few back and maybe do a little star hopping.
How did you get in? What were you doing with my moss?
Stipple, let me tell you. It's all part of an intergalactic conspiracy to deprive you of busting that nut that you've been building up.
What?
Relax, Stipple. I'm just yanking your chain. Besides, this skit is done. It's all just been part of robot radio theater.
But I'm not a robot.
Sure you're not. This installment of Robot Radio Theater has been brought to you by new dehydrated Diet Stimuswill. Be sure to drink only Diet Stimuswill, or an intergalactic conspiracy will deprive you of orgasm. We'll make sure of it. Good night.
Assertion. Bandwagon. Inevitable victory.
Follow the money.
Obtain disapproval. Glittering generalities. Vagueness. Rationalization. Simplification. Transfer. Least of evils. Name calling. Plain folks. Social disapproval. Virtue words. Slogans. Testimonials. Official sanction. Incredible truths. Insinuation. Selective omission. Lying and distortion. Change of pace. Stalling. Shift of scene.
Follow the money.
Repetition. 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 Assertion. Bandwagon. Inevitable victory. Obtain disapproval.
Cut word lines. Cut music lines. Smash the control images. Smash the control machine.
Glittering generalities. Vagueness. Rationalization. Simplification. Transfer. Least of evils. Name calling. Plain folks.
Follow the money.
Social disapproval. Virtue words. Slogans. Testimonials. Official sanction. Incredible truths. Insinuation. Selective omission. Lying and distortion. Change of pace.
Follow the money.
Stalling. Shift of scene. Repetition. Repetition. Repetition.
Forget the myths that the media's created about the White House. The truth is, these are not very bright guys, and things got out of hand.
So anyway, the Ides of March and these topsy-turvy times compel me to ramble about something I've been reluctant to mention for fear of, well, a jinx. I speak, of course, of the curse of Tecumseh. You see, President Harrison, elected in 1840, like many of our early presidents, was a big Indian killer, which, long story short, led to a curse being placed upon him by Tecumseh. President Harrison was the first president to die in office, contracting pneumonia secondary to the Indian curse. A fluke took a step towards becoming a trend with Abraham Lincoln, who was elected in 1860 and then re-elected in 1864, but not for long. A Catholic cabal struck him down on April 14th of 1865. In 1880, it officially became a trend when General James Garfield won the presidency by a scant 10,000 votes. He proceeded to piss off big business and the New York political machine, and, less than 4 months into his term, on July 2nd, 1881, he was shot by an angry lawyer, Charles Guiteau. He died on September 19th, after months of tasty torture at the hands of quacks, which may have been some sort of Masonic ritual. It basically just gets spooky in 1900, when President William McKinley is re-elected to his second term. He was standing in a receiving line at the Buffalo Pan American Exposition when an anarchist with an unpronounceable name that, on first inspection, looks like some kind of joke, Leon Czolgosz, possibly, Czolgosz, shot him twice in the chest. You know, for anarchy. President McKinley had the decency to linger for a mere 8 days and died on September 14th, 1901. Again, medical incompetence played its role, giving him a touch of the gangrene before he died. Mr. Czolgosz's trial started a week later and lasted a day. He was executed less than 2 months after the act. Like a good hasheeshian, he signed a confession and was unapologetic. By now, you may be noticing that all the presidents elected in a 0 year eventually died in office. And this trend continued in 1920, with Warren Harding, who was perhaps the worst president ever. The Federal Vampire and Zombie Agency indicates that he was bitten by a vampire planted by Al Capone. Officially, the return to normalcy candidate, embattled by multiple scandals, fled to Alaska and died of food poisoning on August 2, 1923. His wife died the next year on November 21, 1924. FDR, like Lincoln, survived his 0 year presidency, but finally stroked out on April 12, 1945, in his fourth term as president. In 1960, JFK was elected, and we all know who killed him on November 21st, 1963. Ronald Reagan was elected in 1980, and after just a few months in office was shot by a son of George Bush's friend. He died and was replaced by a CIA robot on March 30th, 1981. Which brings us to the much-contested 2000 election. Wasn't that exciting? Who knew what was at stake? A virtual free pass? Of course, the superstitious will insist that the Reagan bot broke the curse. But time will tell. Time will tell.
The effect has been to pretty much demolish civil society, to turn people into what is the ideal. Now, the ideal is very clear. The ideal is a completely fragmented, atomized society where everyone's totally alone, doing nothing but trying to pursue created wants, and the wants are created. It's known that they're created. Nobody wants those things. You create wants. People are stuck with their television set or, you know, their interactive, whatever it is. They're glued to this thing, and they're told what they want, and they have to want it. They don't have any connection with anyone else. You know, you don't see anybody else. You don't deal with anyone else. You're an atom of consumption, and you go to work at lower and lower wages for more and more hours and less benefits and security in a flexible labor market. That's the kind of utopia that they're looking for, and it's not very far from there. It's led to very strange effects in the country. I mean, the country is like a devastated peasant society. You know, you really have to go back to Europe and the Black Death, I think, 14th century, to find anything similar. People are scared, angry, hostile, hate everything, don't know what they hate, you know, don't have anybody else to talk to, just angry, desperate. There are cults all over the place at a Mom? Scale that is unknown in any other society. I mean, you have to, the level of religious fundamentalism alone is probably the highest in the world. I'm almost certain higher than Iran, you know. And that's only one of them. You know, people, right now the militias happen to be on the front pages, but that's just a tiny fragment of it. And it's only not the right, the left is the same, you know. It's across the board. It's just a dissolved society, very scary. The portent is ominous. You know, it's the kind of a situation, and it's a kind of a situation which is indeed reminiscent of Germany in the late 30s in a lot of ways, or Iran in the late 70s. You know, very frightening, and it's much more frightening when it happens here.
It can't happen here. It can't happen here. I'm telling you, my dear, that it can't happen here. Because I've been checking it out, baby. I checked it out a couple of times. And I'm telling you, it can't happen here. Oh, darling, it's important that you believe me, bop, 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 that it can't happen here. Who could imagine that they would freak out somewhere in Kansas?
Kansas.
Could imagine that they would freak out in Minnesota. Could freak out in Washington, D.C. But it can't happen here. Everybody's safe, and it can't happen here. No freaks for us, it can't happen here. Everybody's clean, and it can't happen here. No, no, it won't happen here. I'm telling you kids, it won't happen here. Plastic folks, you know it won't happen here. You're safe, mama. You're safe, baby. You just put the TV dinner in, you make it. We're gonna get a TV dinner and cook it up. Oh, and it won't happen here.
No, man, you guys.
But they would freak out in the suburbs.
Everything's cool.
I remember Tutu, I remember Tutu, I remember Tutu, they had a swimming pool. I remember Tutu, I remember Tutu, they had a swimming pool. I remember Tutu, I remember Tutu, they had a swimming pool. And they thought it couldn't happen here. They knew it couldn't happen here. They were so sure it couldn't happen here, but Susie.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, I've always felt that. Yes, I agree, man. It really makes it. Yeah, it's a real scene, man. It really makes it.
Susie, you just got to town, and we've been very interested in your development.
Forget it!
It can't happen here.
care to tell me about your dream, Peter? It sometimes helps.
I dreamed I saw the dead rise. All the graves in the churchyard opened and the dead came out. All the graves were empty.
Zombie Nation.
He began drilling holes in his drug victims' heads to turn them into zombies.
I almost wish I was.
Zombie Nation.
I have a dream. A dream where someday, zombie and man can live as one. With zombie eating man and passing man through his system. And thereby becoming one. And all the zombies will join hands and mumble. Fed at last, fed at last. Thank God Almighty, we are fed at last.
Visit us online at lymphnodeinstitute.com
or
shout out at mp3.com/LNI
or write to us at P.O. Box 670-541 Marietta, Georgia 30066-0126.
Because we don't want to live in a world full of zombies, do you? If you would like more information on the Church of the Subgenius,
write to them at P.O. Box 204-206, Austin, Texas, 78720-4206. Or visit them online at
www.subgenius.com.
You've heard Dr. Bugbladder's cover of Manic Depression, Three-Way Lane, Cannaboo, The Pathogens Collage, The Commander Stipple Skit, Right Ridden, The Propaganda Collage, The Curse of Tecumseh Lecture, Noam Chomsky talking about the hell we'll soon live in, Frank Zappa performing It Can't Happen Here, and then Zombie Dreams. And just because it's an emergency show doesn't mean it has to be 60 minutes long, so Dokaka.
Yeah. School, coming home, goofing around.
What will happen to your routine when it all comes down at once?
Don't you feel responsible for trying to help this endangered planet?
No.
Good.
Bob can show you that
the fact is, it's too late.
Things are going to hell on a fast train, and about the only thing you
can do about it is to just sit back and watch the show.
But remember,
the end of the world may be much worse and take much longer than you thought.
Will you be ready?
Will you still be sane enough to laugh?
When that which must come to pass comes to pass?
Yes! And J.R. Bob Dobbs can show you how. The Hour of Slack, every Saturday night at midnight, right here on WREK Atlanta.